Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, May the 7th, the Israeli army says it's in control of the Gaza side of the Rafah crossing. A state of public calamity is declared in Brazil after heavy rains that killed at least 85 people and wreaked widespread destruction. And experts in development and rights gather for a consultation in the Vatican to demand dignified work in all sectors and for all workers. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres is appealing to Israel's allies to pressure the Israeli government to stop the war on Gaza. It is time, he said, for the parties to seize the opportunity and secure a deal for the sake of their own people. His plea comes as the Israel Defense Forces say it has operational control of the Gaza side of the Rafah crossing. Nathan Morley tells us more.
Israeli forces have taken control of the Gaza side of the Rafah crossing with Egypt as their ground operation continues in the southern city, which is now crammed with over 1 million civilians. The Rafah crossing and another, Kerem Shalom, are now reportedly both closed. Aid groups have raised the alarm about the impact on their operations. Louise Wateridge in Rafah for the UN's Agency for Palestinians explains what a possible ground offensive would mean for people.
They're spreading. For many people, this is not the first time that they have been forcibly displaced. This has happened repeatedly. But when they arrive at a new place, there's no infrastructure, there's no clean water. People are moving out of fear of their lives and just trying to get away from the imminent danger that is apparently going to arrive in Rafah.
In a similar vein, Suzanne van Meegen, working in Rafah for the Norwegian Refugee Council, says this is badly hampering their humanitarian operations.
Our own Palestinian staff are having to make decisions about what to do for their own families. How do they take care of elderly and sick relatives? So we are desperately trying to continue operating. We desperately want to keep people here safe, both in Rafah and to the locations they move.
Meanwhile, the UN chief, Antonio Guterres, has said an Israeli ground incursion of Rafah would be intolerable. So far, Israel has instructed around 100,000 civilians in the city to move out. Elsewhere, talks at a restart in Egypt after Hamas said it would accept a deal drafted by Egyptian mediators. It was, however, rejected by Israel as being far from meeting its core demands. This war began when Hamas fighters stormed into southern Israel in October last year, killing around 1,200 people and seizing 252 hostages. More than 34,700 people have been killed in Gaza since then, according to the Hamas-run health ministry. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
The United States Commission on International Religious Freedom has called for additional targeted sanctions on Iranian authorities and security officials for their increased crackdown on women and girls that defy the country's mandatory hijab law. As Lisa Zengarini reports, the recommendation comes in the latest annual report recently published by the bipartisan federal entity that helps the U.S. Department of State draw up its annual list of governments and non-state actors that engage in or tolerate violations of religious freedom. Lisa Zengarini reports.
In its 2024 annual report, the U.S. Bipartisan Commission again placed Iran in the list of countries of particular concern, designating states that record systemic, ongoing and egregious religious freedom violations, and recommended the U.S. administration to further tighten its sanctions on the Iranian government following its recent new harsh enforcement of the mandatory hijab law. In April this year, Iranian authorities launched a new hijab campaign, violently arresting women and girls who refused to wear it. This new spate of arrests comes only weeks after a UN Independent International fact-finding mission determined that Iran's crackdowns on protests against mandatory hijab and other religious freedom violations amount to crime against humanity. The commission called on the US administration to support those findings. In the report, it also urged the US Department of State to add Afghanistan, Azerbaijan, India, Nigeria, and Vietnam to the existing list of 12 countries of particular concern, bringing the total to 17. According to the bipartisan entity, Egypt, Indonesia, Iraq, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Malaysia, Sri Lanka, Syria, Turkey and Uzbekistan should be included on the special watch list of countries whose governments engage in or tolerate severe religious freedom violations. The report also includes recommendations for entities of particular concern, that is, non-state groups that engage in particularly severe religious freedom violations that often include violence. Among them, the Al-Shabaab terrorist organization in Somalia, Boko Haram in Nigeria, and the Houthis in Yemen. The 2024 report is the 25th issued since the Commission's creation in 1998. I am Lisa Zengarini.
Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva has asked his country Congress to recognize a state of public calamity. The request comes after heavy rains that have killed at least 85 people in the country's southernmost state of Rio Grande do Sul. Joseph Tallack reports.
More than 1,500 people have been displaced after flooding in the southern Brazilian state of Rio Grande do Sul. In addition, 85 people have been killed and 130 are still missing. Floodwaters have destroyed roads and bridges in several cities, triggering landslides and leaving a path of destruction behind them. Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva has asked Congress to declare a public calamity in the state, a move which would authorize extra government spending with no need to comply with a spending cap imposed last year. Flavio Rosa from the small city of Canoas told Reuters news agency that although the rains are a common annual occurrence in this part of Brazil, it is the first time that he has seen destruction of this scale. I've seen other floods, but nothing like this, he said. According to local weather forecasts, the weather scenarios are not at all favourable in the short and medium term, and despite temporary improvements in parts of the state, some areas will remain under severe conditions for a very long time. The governor of Rio Grande do Sul, Eduardo Leite, has emphasised that the death toll could still substantially increase as rescue workers gain access to more regions. Businesses have also been severely hit. 10 pork or poultry plants were fully or partially halted. The state capital Porto Alegre's international airport, which is one of Brazil's busiest, has also had its operations suspended indefinitely. On Sunday, Pope Francis turned his thoughts to the people of Brazil.
Assicuro la mia preghiera per la popolazione dello stato del Rio Grande do Sul.
I assure the people of the state of Rio Grande do Sul in Brazil, who have been struck by a terrible flood, of my prayers. May the Lord receive those who have died and provide comfort to their relatives and to those who have been forced to leave their homes. I'm Joseph Tullock.
The photographic exhibition entitled Changes opened in St. Peter's Square on Tuesday. It was inaugurated under the left colonnade of the square with 24 photos from photographers around the world that show the beauty of God's creation, but also the challenges presented by climate change. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
It's a photographic interpretation of St. Francis' Canticle of the Creatures. On the one hand, the contrast of the effects of climate change, and on the other, the hope given by the inspiration in admiring God's creative work. This is the intention of the photographic exhibition called Changes, officially inaugurated on Tuesday, May 7th in St. Peter's Square and underneath the left colonnade of the Charlemagne Wing. The exhibition is the fruit of the project called Emotions to Generate Change and is open to the public until May 27th. Curated by Leah and Mariana Beltrami of Italy, the exhibition came together with the help of the Dicastery for Communication in collaboration with the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, as well as the Laudato Si Center for Higher Education. The words of St. Francis' Canticle of the Creatures accompanies Changes with 24 photographs, with reference to Pope Francis' apostolic exhortation, Laudate Deum, which notes that as time goes on, we perhaps are not reacting enough to what's happening in the world due to climate change, which is reaching a breaking point. And there's no doubt that the impact of climate change will increasingly harm the lives of many people and families, and the effects will be felt in terms of health, jobs, access to resources, housing, forced migration, and in other areas, the document notes. The photos selected and put together with words from the Canticle of the Creatures present a contrast between the beauty and wonder of creation and the destruction of climate change, both to our environment and hurting people around us. The name of the exhibit, Changes, refers both to climate change and its impacts, which we are experiencing with increasing intensity, and challenges us to change our outlook and our actions. The photos in the exhibit are mounted on pieces of wood salvaged from a storm that hit the province of Trent in Italy. The photos are from artists from around the world and show places like Borneo, Bangladesh, Togo, Ethiopia, the Amazon, Greece, Italy, Iceland, Australia, and Turkey. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
A consultation is taking place in the Vatican this week that focuses on integral human development and the work sector. The high-level meeting, jointly sponsored by the International Catholic Migration Commission and the Vatican's Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, opens on Wednesday after a private audience with the Pope, and it concludes on Friday. Monsignor Roberto Vitillo, the Commission's Secretary General, spoke to Deborah Castellano-Luboff about the upcoming encounter, which brings together some 60 of the world's leading experts on social justice and labour-related issues as they work together to achieve concrete change.
60 experts from organizations of the UN and also of Europe that are involved in organizing for social justice and assuring a just and decent work for all. Also, international Catholic organizations that work with and organize employees. And then also we have the co-sponsorship of the Vatican's Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development. During this phase, we organized regional groups that were looking at the key themes regarding the future of work at a regional level. And we saw, again, that the transversal themes that are coming out are those of decent work in the food supply chain, extractive industries and decent work, social justice, dignity, and inequality, the protection of migrants, especially migrant workers and those who are vulnerable, and then just environmental transition in the context of economic crises and in the context of climate change. And so during this meeting, we're gathering these 60 experts and people involved in the field to reflect on this, looking to use a methodology of common social discernment, similar to what's being done in the Synod of Bishops, and then to develop out of this reflection together a roadmap on the future, on the work that we will do during the next few years as this project of building a global transformative community around the theme of care is work and work is care. For the Holy Father, care is work and work is care means that all work should be caring, no matter what kind of work that takes place, and that we should always be centering our concerns on the worker, especially those who are seeking just and fair wages and decent work conditions. I think the value of this reflection is to lead to action, and especially to bring greater social justice to the world.
And that was Monsignor Robert Vitillo, Secretary General of the International Catholic Migration Commission, speaking there to Deborah Castellano-Luboff. And that's all for this edition of Vatican and World News. And you can also follow us on our web page at vaticannews.va. Catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. And tune in for more news tomorrow at the same time. My thanks go to Alberto Giovannetti in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.